another Franklin Matters Radio Show, number 652 in the series. This session shares the Board of Health meeting held on Wednesday, November 3rd. The meeting was conducted in person at the Municipal Building. Chair Bridget Sweet opened the meeting and jumped into the approval of the prior meeting minutes to get to the 27 Winter Street issue with the property owner present. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda, the Board of Health page, and my notes from the meeting. During the citizens' comment, I advocate for adding in a virtual option to their meeting. They agreed to do so. The meeting runs about 45 minutes, so let's listen to the Board of Health meeting of November 3rd.
November 3rd, Franklin Board of Health, to order at 5 p.m. First item on the agenda is the acceptance of the meeting.
And Madam Chair, for the record, the meeting is being recorded.
Thank you, sir.
And just a point of clarification, because there was an election yesterday, we do the board does actually have to have a restructuring vote, despite the fact that the member who was up for election was re-elected.
Okay, can we do that after we do the minutes and then listen to Winter Street, just so that we can do it first thing?
Absolutely. That would.
I just want to give her.
That'll have to be new business. That's
perfect. Awesome. All right, so first we'll do the meeting minutes. I think we received these electronically as well.
That's correct.
Any comments on the minutes?
No questions.
Nope. So is there a motion to accept the minutes as submitted?
Motion to accept the minutes from the October 13th, 2021 meeting as submitted.
Is there a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, cool. And then just Kathleen, we'll go right to 27 Winter Street, if that's okay?
Absolutely.
What do we got?
Do you want to present what you have?
Well, all I can tell you is give you an update. As I said, I went last time.
Okay.
I did walk through the property with an architect. It's borderline as to whether or not, anything could be rescued, but whether or not they would advise it.
Okay.
So I believe we're going to raise the property.
Mm-hmm.
We've reached out to a demolition company and reviewed that process.
Okay.
We really need to get an abatement plan in place where they would you'd have like an environmental person go through and assess it for asbestos and things like that, because those documents are needed in order to get a demolition permit.
Okay.
And they've been authorized to go ahead and we're both going to actually try to reach out to get someone on site to make that report.
Correct.
With that report.
So once your contractor or whoever you decide to demo, they'll do that legwork. So there's an actual application that needs to be filled out at the DEP.
But the building department, you'd go for a demolition permit from the building department.
Right, but
as part of that submission, you need to have what's referred to as an abatement plan, which is
correct.
An environmental person has walked through and ascertained what, if anything, needs to be dealt with or handled specially. For example, asbestos siding is a common.
Well, correct, but there is an application that has to be filled out. That there's a form for that,
yes.
For whoever is going to be doing it. So, literally, like the health department will receive that.
Just in the historical.
Oh, yeah.
Commission and maybe some other departments. I haven't read through regulatory requirements, but it's pretty straightforward.
Do you have a time frame for that?
The best estimate was 60 to 90 days to both have it evaluated, assessed, permits pulled, and scheduled for the work. And I think I told you last time that I'd taken down the roof over the porch, which you had identified as, obviously it was collapsing, it was a hazard, so that was removed. The yard's been cleaned, the property's been emptied. I can still go ahead and seal the, the holes in the soffits.
If you're having it raised, because we had this discussion today about pests and rodents getting in, if you were rehabbing, that would be a different story, because they could be wreaking havoc with your electrical. If you're having it raised up to the board, I don't know if that's necessary.
I think if unless there's more that you want to share, I think we can ask for a recommendation from the health directors how you would like the board to proceed based on the information provided.
So I would say, if it's being raised, especially in the next 2 or 3 months, obviously there's a lot of variables that could take place. You know, I did take a look at the property today, and there are some areas in the south end fascia that would be serious concern should it be rehabbed instead. If it's being raised, I mean, there's no sense, especially in the next couple months,
to put
all that money into something that's going to be torn down. I would say, in part of the permit process for the demolition, would just be to get a pest control company in there to abate any, really be a rodent issue on land. And just with that, a lot of those openings that I could see, I would definitely want to have that on file to make sure that when it is raised, that there isn't also a rodent issue that the neighborhood is starting to see.
Okay. Makes sense.
But the rest of the property was secure. The windows all seemed secure. Doors were secure. I don't see any evidence of break-ins. I would say between now and the time it is raised, just to regularly monitor the property. If there does seem to be a break-in, to notify the police, and certainly would have to plywood a window or door should it be broken. That would be my recommendation.
Is the placard, the condemnation placard, you've left on the exterior doors, right?
It was really just like a letter.
Right. It's still there?
Oh, yes.
It was
all right. There. Okay, great. We want that to stay up just so.
First, as long as no other.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, great.
Okay. So 2 to 3 months. 1690, what are we, November 1st?
So,
sometime in January, yeah.
Okay. Oh,
all right.
You can keep me.
Yeah, can you just keep us? Yeah, you don't have to come to another meeting. You won't do that.
Yeah. That'll be good.
But if you just kind of make sure Kathleen and Matt are kept posted as you make progress or as you decide when you're going to do the raising or start pulling the permit, just they have an idea that you can kind of document that it is being done and taken care of.
Yeah, okay. Appreciate that. Yeah, you can email myself, Matt. Our cards are downstairs, just to stay abreast of it. That'll be great. I really appreciate it.
Right. Is there any other discussion from the board members?
No, no questions.
Do we technically need to make a motion to accept the plan as proposed?
I would.
Just put it on file?
I would, yeah.
And we can also, and I think we should all, as part of that, also schedule
a follow-up in February.
That if necessary, the board can always
just revisit?
Yeah, revisit.
Okay.
Did you say February?
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't we schedule it, as part of it, we'll schedule for the February meeting to revisit, in case there's, is the department has...
Weather issue, whatever, good name, we're going into the winter, so in case there's something else that happens.
Right.
Okay.
So, motion to accept the proposal from the owners of 27 Winter Street, to revisit the status of the property in February of 2022, pending any updates from the owner.
Is there a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you as well.
Tim, the last pending any?
Pending any updates from the owner.
Updates.
Obviously, if the property is raised between now and then, Kevin,
you can just take it off the agenda.
I thought it was pretty good, so I mean it.
Oh, beautiful.
That's great. Yeah. I'm very happy.
Okay, so then we did 27 winner. We can go right into new business and do the restructuring if you want.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
I said I wanted to be here all night, I called back.
No, that was the right thing. November 2nd, 2021, there was an election in which a new board member was re-elected. Based on that, the board is scheduled to restructure its current position. At this time, I would nominate Bridget Sweet to be the chairperson of the Franklin Board of Health.
Is there a second?
I second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks.
At this, following that, at this time, I would nominate Jeff Harris as vice chair of the Franklin Board of Health. Second?
I can second now, right?
Yeah.
I just can't make an initial motion. I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Did you say aye? Did you say aye?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't hear you. I was like, wait a minute, Jeff.
Said it quiet.
That was a quiet aye.
Oh, you gotta be sorry Tim did that.
I know.
Very welcome.
Okay, so in who seconded that? You, Bridget?
I did, yes.
Congratulations, all.
Thanks. All right. Going down the line, Metacomet Shared Service Grant Regional Inspector Report, which we have a copy of.
Since the last meeting, two housing code inspections, two housing re-inspections, two nuisance complaint inspections, one of which is in full compliance now, which is the re-inspection, the other is still outstanding. Had nine regular food inspections, attended the MHO annual conference on October 20th and 21st. And additionally, I failed to put on here, completed the foundation's course program through Boston University, DPH, that's required for the grant process. So it's pretty much an easy review for me.
It's like the nuts and bolts public health.
Yeah, it was like a 35-hour thing I kind of picked away at, but that's done. It's a requirement for the grant, so.
Did only you have to do it?
I think anybody under
the grant. I have to do it. Right? I've only done two.
Anybody under the grant.
Many that I have to do.
Okay.
Many. It's like 27 or something.
Yeah,
like
it's
that.
27.
So, and that's because the grant was supposed to public health excellence, right? So making sure that whoever they brought under the umbrella had some sort of background in public health and they weren't just hiring anybody, right? That's the intention with the grant with the training? Okay. I'm sure that was fun. Anything else? Anyone have any questions for Matt?
No, thanks.
I did get the body art presentation electronically and all the inspection forms. If you want, I can share them with you guys whenever I get on the internet. But that was the only good presentation.
It was. It was good. I went back to one of the other towns and just rewrote the regulation for review by the board.
So I had Boston actually sent me all their regulations, all their inspections, all their public outreach. So a lot of really good stuff. He shared it all with me. So I'll send it to MHOA too, but I think it'll be good for us to, for you to have.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Kathleen abandoned us. So we will go right to public health nursing update then.
Okay. So we had a good week. We started with the flu clinic last Wednesday at the senior center. We gave out 57, I want to say 10 more people were going to show up, but that was the day we had the bad storm.
Okay.
So I had some left over and I did some home visits on Friday for people, for the residents that are homebound. I called a list and got a few people who wanted to. For COVID, I did a little graph there. So in October, we've had 177 confirmed and probable cases in Franklin versus 172 last month. And I broke it down in age ranges. I did the 0 to 11 just because the 12 plus is when you can get vaccinated, so you can see the different ranges there. As you can see from 0 to 11, it's a little over 23% is the amount of positive cases in Franklin.
Are these 177, are these new confirmed cases, or these are
from October?
Or is it five new cases in addition to what we had?
No, 177.
Okay.
Yeah. I wish it was only five for the month of October, but it's not.
One day.
So I am sending out most of these. Yeah. So I'm sending out most of these to the CTC. That's a the tracing collaborative.
Contact tracing collaborative.
However, oh, you know what? I think I wrote the wrong day. 11/29/21 is going to be their last day accepting new cases, and then they will close out the rest by the end of the year.
Okay.
So, mostly I'm sending it out to them. I have called a few people that have like called me and have had questions, so I'll just work up the family. It's usually families because I get a lot of calls from school nurses and daycares, so I'll just kind of take that upon myself to help them with quarantine timelines and guidelines and things to do.
Okay.
Still only have one active TB case that I'm working up in Franklin, where I do weekly Zoom and home visits with them. And that's been going great.
Good.
The person's doing very well.
Good.
We actually, she got off of a medication.
Excellent.
Recently, yeah. COVID clinic, big news. We hope to have that. It's going to be happening, obviously not today, the following Wednesday for 5 to 11. Mm-hmm. So we have 300 doses of Pfizer right now. I actually just got my vaccine refrigerator today.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, so we're going to do that from 2 to 6. We have vaccinators all lined up. We're going to have a paramedic there to help us, and we have a few other nurses that are going to be there to help reconstitute, get the vaccines ready for us to go and administer. So
what's the day?
The 10th.
November 10th.
We also got two MRC volunteers.
I can come after 3:30 and just do registration or paperwork, whatever else you might need.
Okay. Yeah, you know, the more the merrier, because we don't, you know, we have the 300 doses. Mm-hmm. So we're preparing for 300 people coming through.
Is it 300 high, or is it like the, is it 300 plus? They changed that formulation, right? So you're not getting extra doses anymore?
There, so because the peds vials, it's, you're doing like one third of the dose. There's 10 in each one, and we have 30 vials. So 300, hopefully, you know.
And have you already, marketed this or shared this with?
We couldn't share it until the emergency use approval was approved yesterday, yep. Late yesterday. So we'll be getting it out tomorrow. Melissa just finished up the flyer.
Okay.
And now that it's approved, it'll be out tomorrow.
My next question is, if you're between the ages of 5 and 11, if someone's coming with their 5 to 11 year olds, but they have one more who's 13 who hasn't been vaccinated, are they eligible to be vaccinated, or is it straight just 5 to 11?
I'm going to say just straight 5
yeah,
to 11.
Because then we would have to, you would take away another dose from someone else because they do a different milligram than what we're giving for these kids, unfortunately. So
That's a good point, though. So we have to watch that registration. Is there an age in the color, that a date of birth or anything when they register?
You do date of birth.
Yeah, they do have to enter the date of birth.
So let's keep
although,
watching that.
Yeah, we'll have to reach out to make sure that it gets blocked if they try to put it in.
Okay.
Is it first come, first serve? Is that
and
how
what's
it
still
is?
Kathleen?
So on this thing that they'll register, it's called Colors, the system. It's really nice. It organizes everything for you. You just pick your time slot, and that way the 300 will be given to the people. So yeah, it is first come, first serve to book your appointment.
But Melissa, just so yesterday we noted on color that they didn't have a 5 to 11 section yet. We have to click on who we're serving before we can bring the clinic up and running, and it's still not there. So we'll call tomorrow morning, because now that it's been approved, they really need to.
I did send an email out to them yesterday, knowing that they would have to wait until it got approved, but just letting them know that it's not an option for color. So they'll probably tweak it.
It was the same with getting paper signed from our medical director. It all said 12 plus, and we couldn't get any of that prepared yet until it had the correct ages on it. So that'll be something.
Now we have 300 doses. If you only use half, would you do it again?
So let's say we only use 150. We could always just do, because we have, you have 10 weeks to keep these in the fridge for the peds doses. It's 30 for the other, it's 10 weeks for this one. So we always could just hold the second clinic and finish up the other 150 instead of ordering more, which our plan is if we did all 300, get another stock of 300 to do their next one.
Mm. But the way the state allocated this, it has to be used within 30 days, right? For the intention to be used within upon receipt?
I am going to have to double check that, just because I know it said 10 weeks, and the expiration on these are like 90 days, I want to say.
Are there other towns involved, or just Franklin?
Just us.
Just us.
Yeah, so DPH sent a survey to providers, right? And so I guess the local boards of health are considered a provider. So I filled out the survey. And then next thing you know, I was approved, and next thing you know, they're on their way, and next thing you know, they were here Monday morning, so it's been a whirlwind for us.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so, it's crazy, but we're pretty organized.
Yeah,
we really
it's going well for trying to figure it out quickly, but Yeah, with these ones, you have up to 10 weeks in the refrigerator. So that's all I'm going off of right now. And worst comes to worst, if we did have extra, we can always reach out to any like pediatric offices, yeah, anything like that, to get rid of them within a timely manner, right, and have them give it. Because some people may be more comfortable doing it at their doctor's office, you know?
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and then the HeartSafe communities, I'm going to keep looking into that. I started going around town looking at the AEDs, and we've had some expired pads. One of the machines here in the town hall needed like a new battery. It didn't turn on at all. So
we ordered a new one.
They ordered new ones, so that's good. So it's a little on hold right now, so I can do this COVID clinic, but we will get back to it. And right now, the other ones that I've come across in town are at least functioning. Like, you can still use them, even with expired pads, of course, but the fire station did start ordering things.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then meetings, still doing the weekly Dean College Zoom meetings. They're still doing phenomenal. Just a few cases here and there, and they're handling it. Went to that NEMA meeting too. What was that, like a few weeks ago, the emergency?
Yeah, so there's a regional emergency preparedness committee. Instead of the LEPC, which is a local, there's background on that, but you don't have to have a local if you're part of a region, and we're part of a region now, thanks to Jim, the fire chief. I'm on the committee under the health portion of the committee members, and oh, I forgot to tell you, I signed you up too for under the hospital. You're welcome. So it's going to be kind of fun. I mean, it was kind of interesting. It was me, Ginny, and Alicia with a sea of fire everywhere. Mm-hmm. So all male fire people. So it was kind of interesting. I don't really know, like, they're talking about hazard mitigation plans and coming together as a region to apply for grants. So it's all kind of in the new stages, but I dragged Alicia along.
Is it going to be like NC8?
What's
something
that?
Like that? NC8 to 8 towns that come together and do all their regional preparedness, so they get more grants because they're working with partner towns.
Correct.
I think that's,
so
yeah,
now it's going to be NC8 plus 2 because Medfield and Dover are getting on that bandwagon, but because of the way the state wants everything to be regional and not home rule, mm-hmm, they're pushing money to all those places, to all those organizations.
Yeah, so that's what they said. So if we, there's a lot, I think there's 12, isn't there 12 regions that came together for this?
So are we 5? What's Franklin?
Is it 2?
We're not 4A, are we 2?
We're 2.
2, I think.
So that's part of the problem, is your shared services grant is with 4A.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Can you still partner with them if you're not in the same region through EP?
I don't know. I'll find out. That's a good question. I never thought of that. I just went with Jim. I don't know. I'll look into that. I don't see what difference does it make.
It
I work
make,
in Franklin.
Should make a difference, yeah.
So, and I participate with Region 2.
Who else is in 2? All the
Oh, God, there's
a lot. Yeah, there's a lot.
74 towns, yeah.
But like Bellingham.
I'll find out for you.
What else? There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Even some that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
Isn't like Norwood or like something? Like,
well, no, we're Region 2 is like Auburn, Oxford, Webster, Dudley, Southbridge. So it's all, yeah. Anyways, so,
Is there one more item you're going to talk about?
Oh, the foundations course? Oh my goodness. So I've only done 2 out of the 27 trainings because I've had no time. So I'll start doing it.
It says here CPR classes.
Oh, so one of the things I want to do, I want to become an instructor. Because I'm already ACLS certified, all I have to do is go to, which is Advanced Cardiovascular Life-Saving Support. You have that at any hospital you go and work at. Most people, and all I have to do is go and take like a 2-day course through the either the American Heart Association or the Red Cross, and then I can become an instructor. And me and Matt actually talked about teaming up at some point, and we'd probably be able to do some classes for people.
Gee, I think Matt, that's great. That's something that should be offered in this town.
right?
Especially for people who got swimming pools with little kids.
Like the rec center even, people playing and doing that stuff.
Sports programs and that stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah, people won't jump into action if they're not comfortable, especially even something like going back to the AEDs. You're not even gonna think to grab one of those. If you don't know where they are, don't feel comfortable using them, you're not gonna be the person to step up and do it. So I think more education on that would be great.
Yeah, I like that.
Cool. If I could just go backwards for a minute. I was on the LEPC in Marlboro, and it had nothing to do with what region I was in. So I just saw it.
So you can still do a coalition separate from your region.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And then you come on. States, get it out. Keep taking it. Ooh, ooh. All right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. 850 Summer Street, local upgrade.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, so this applicant is seeking to upgrade their current field system. And Wade actually said that the local upgrade is reasonable for the proposed design, but he would like the following items recommended. As you can see on the bullet points, if the board grants the approvals, then he wants the following items recommended. I don't know if you want to vote for a recommendation or if I can just put that in a formal letter.
What is the recommendation?
Do you have this?
No.
Oh, you don't have that?
I don't think so. Do you have it?
No.
Oh, my fault. Sorry.
That's okay.
So, three things. So, the design to provide an impervious barrier between the soil absorption system and foundation wall. The depth of the barrier should be deep enough to protect the home. That's one. Per Presby system design manual, speed levels to be installed in the D-box outlets for even flow distribution. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And per DEP system approval requirement, a disclosure notice in the deed to the property stating that the innovative alternative system is serving the dwelling as required in accordance with 310 CMR 28710. Do you want to speak to any of that, if they have any questions on the recommendations or?
Is the last one a deed restriction?
Yeah.
So they'll have to file it anyway.
If it's a Presby, that's a standard.
Presby, yeah, standard language. So it should be on the plan, and then they should file the deed restriction.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all pretty standard. I don't see any.
Okay. So you have to vote to approve it, though?
Yes. Is there a motion to approve the local upgrade request for 850 Summer Street based on the engineer's recommendations of three criteria to be submitted prior to?
I make a motion.
Is there a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Cool. All right. And the last bullet here is PFAS.
Oh, yeah. So, Bridget asked me to put this on the agenda, and
thank you.
I just did a quick PowerPoint.
So I was contacted by a resident who wanted to know what the Board of Health stance was going to be in regards to PFAS, and I said I have no idea.
They wanted to know what we were going
to be doing in regards to PFAS, because there's a lot of movement in other communities for having a PFAS response strategy. And other types of education information put forth to the public. So I don't think it's a bad idea, but when he asked me, I really had no idea. So I asked Kathleen to look into it a little bit. It looks like Mass Municipal Association has partnered with a couple of different towns that have had PFAS issues in their water, as far as like what their local response has been. It historically goes through the water department, but we should have some sort of information available to the residents, I think, in the event of a PFAS incident. Does that sound reasonable?
Just, you know, work, like get ahead of the game?
Basically. Yeah, so like communication, education, and mitigation. So if we could get some of the bullets from Mass Municipal and maybe even from DEP, and then maybe make a link on our website so that if residents do have questions, especially where we do have wells and various water bodies in the community. But really just to make sure that there's information for the residents to communicate, educate, and then in the event we do have to mitigate, we're not calling the last minute. We have some sort of plan in place.
Yeah, because I remember when Hudson had quite this serious problem with their drinking water that was contaminated with the PFAS.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if we can just, I don't know that we have a problem. I hope we never have a problem. But in the event that we do, just that we're more prepared rather than being ill prepared.
So why don't I come up with a resource for the next meeting that you can all agree on that should be posted to the health department? Topics?
Cool.
Okay.
I dig it, yeah.
That'd be great.
I think so. I think the more information that we can provide. And the other thing that I forgot to ask you about was last week there was a public comment period from DEP about the, help me, a new regulation that's going into effect for local boards of health starting July of 2022.
Regarding?
Combined sewer overflows and sanitary sewage overflows.
I don't know if I received that.
So I have the link, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
If you can work with our water department, I'm sure there's already a notification process in place in the event that we have an overflow. Historically, it goes through the water department. But what's happening now is DEP is stating that in the event of an issue, the Board of Health also has to make a recommendation and inform the residents of the community. Again, I'm hoping that we never have to worry about this, but it is a new statute that it got voted in DEP last January. It takes 540 days for it to go into effect, so it'll be the law in July of 2022.
Okay.
So if you can work with them to make sure that we have the ability to do, I think the exact verbiage they say is, there's bullets we need to share information-wise, but there's also the recommendation of using a reverse 911 or other type of communication system.
And this is overflow of?
Combined sanitary sewer and, I don't know, I don't like sewer stuff.
In a lot of old systems,
they're starting to,
the sewer lines are, I shouldn't say combined, but combined with like your runoff.
Storm drain and runoff. So then making sure that your water body is still protected, and then they're seeing instances of spikes after rain events. So it's really just informational. I don't have internet because it doesn't love me, but when I do get it, when I get home, I'll share the link
with
you both, and then if you can share it with the board, just so they have it.
Sure.
A big part of it going forward is for any major sewer upgrades, yeah, things like that, to actually keep them separate instead of
the combined sanitary.
I'm surprised it took this long for something like that to come up.
Yeah, we're a little bit reactive here in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it goes to water.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that this may also be a good time for the Board of Health look into what type of notification systems we do have townwide.
Okay.
Rather than being reactionary and having to work on the fly, if in any event we do, the board, or if in any event the department has to send out some type of notification, and it has to come directly from the department, for everyone to be aware of what that system is, how that system works. Obviously, the town at large has its own systems of notifying the public, as well as the police and fire departments, but it sounds like this may be something that the board should have as...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Good idea.
Yep,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Good idea.
All right.
If I may, Bridget, just a few extra things.
Of course.
We'll get out. I just want to let you know that Cold Chain Technologies, they're located in Franklin. There's 160 staff in two different locations. They are under a federal mandate to have their staff vaccinated, and they invited Alicia and I to go to the facility and speak to the staff about the benefits of being vaccinated. So just wanted to let you know that. You know, I always like to let you know what we're up to.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, they were pretty happy that we agreed to do that, and so.
I think it's cool that they reached out and asked you to do it.
Yeah.
I think it's great that you're willing to do it.
Oh, sure. We did it for actually the veterans. Alicia and I went to the veterans coffee social
At the senior center.
Yeah, and we spoke to them about the, you know, benefits of being vaccinated, etc.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so we're out there. So you're gonna like this one. I've had an intern from Worcester State working with me, and we finally fleshed out exactly what her program would be, and it's a food diversion waste program. And facilities, DPW, and the food consultant begin our training, the staff at Parmenter Elementary School to start their food diversion waste program.
So are they composting or are they just recovering?
We've hired Black Earth to cut this, so they provide us with the buckets or the containers that the food waste goes in, and then they'll come and pick up.
And is there anything for recovery as well, or just straight diversion?
Right now,
when you recover from the schools, because it's a lot of times it's federally funded, there are slightly different rules you have to follow.
Okay.
You can still do it, but it can only go to like a nonprofit. It couldn't go. It follows a more direct line because a lot of times the food isn't federally funded, so you can't get an additional tax write-off for donating that food.
So we're not donating. It's just,
just straight diversion.
Straight diversion.
And you're training the staff, et cetera.
We thought we'd train the staff before getting the elementary students involved. So first the staff, and once they get comfortable in a week or two, then we'll go back and we'll train the students. And then our hope, everyone's hope, is that we will continue this straight through all the schools.
I love it.
I hope so.
With that diversion, Black Earth composting, et cetera, is there any plan? So now we have the community garden, right, through Ryan. Is there any way that, this is very much in its infancy, but if this does kick off and become more successful, that we could regroup that composting back into the community garden to make it more full circle?
Depends on budgeting, because there would be similar to almost like a dumpster. It's a, you know, for that waste to be composted. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not really sure what that looks like yet. We're just starting a small pilot program to see where it goes.
And there is still some grant funding available from USDA for these types of smaller projects.
Okay.
And there's a webinar next week for requesting these types of grants. I'll send that link to you too.
Perfect.
Maybe a student can do it.
She can finish up with that.
But she can do the webinar and figure out how, because it's explicit to food recovery and USDA grants, so there's certain keywords that they're always looking for, so if she knows the words, take some notes, you guys can apply for them.
Yeah, and there's an organization called the Green Team, and they're really out west, but we're gonna kind of mirror what they're doing, so I'll send you a video of that, so you can kind of get an idea of what we're looking at. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. And just one other thing. You know how we're part of a shared service agreement, right? The DPH has agreed to fund us an additional $125,000 over two consecutive years for contact tracing support. So I don't know what that looks like yet. I'm meeting with Jamie next week to see what type of position, full-time, part-time, whatever, but we received the funding, so I'm grateful.
For all three towns?
All three towns, yeah.
Is the funding, does it come with structured support, or is it just funding for a position and then it's up to the towns to determine how that position is going?
It's both structured and then what happens is we're provided a work plan, like I was with Matt and Alicia, and it's pretty much they populate and I make sure that we follow through, so it's more like justification, or if I want to make any changes, you know what I mean? Like, they're really geared to epidemiologists.
Sure.
You know, do we need an epidemiologist to do contact tracing support? I don't think so, but, more might come with that, right? More structure, more data analysis, more whatever. I haven't seen it yet, so I don't really know, but I can get back to you on that one.
Is that over 2 years?
Yeah.
Do you know Tiffany and Needham?
No.
They just got theirs and posted their jobs for contact tracers and epidemiology. I will get what they have, send it to you.
I think I saw it. I was looking at jobs to make
Ew.
for my intern. And I think I saw that actually there's a couple of towns looking for an epidemiologist. So, but no, I'm fine with that. That was on MHOA tonight because she's finishing her internship and she is A plus. And really, the market's great for public health right now. So.
Westwood's hiring right now. Apply right now.
Yeah, that's what. Actually, tomorrow after we train the staff over at Parmenter,
he's desperate.
Westwood.
Because the kid quit and went down the Cape. Yeah. He's been doing. Jared can't do it.
All right. She would need training, but
everyone needs training.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah. So that's all good news.
That's great news.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I'll get with you. Closer to our next meeting as to what exactly we should put on the agenda based on this whole conversation. Anyone have any questions for anybody before we
have? Is there a motion? Oh, Steve, you have anything?
I thought there was a citizen's comment section.
Yes, I pulled myself back. I realized that I was like, yes, there's a citizen's comment section, sorry.
Yeah, just for the record then, Steve Sherlock, during the election, a couple of questions, comments got raised in regards to accessibility of the information we were posting via election, particularly from disabled folks, in terms of like transcripts for hard of hearing instead of listening to the audio. So that as background, I was a little surprised to see this board being the first one to go truly an in-person meeting, and ironically in one of the smallest meeting rooms, although the meeting room did change between the agenda and the actual meeting, not to have considered going forward, given that we're still in the pandemic, things are still going on, to at least continue enabling access to this in a hybrid motion going forward. Just that comment.
We can, it's just they've not been well attended. I see both sides, and I think we've had some issues with Google Hangout.
We can't do Google Hangout. That's why.
You've
been using Google Hangout. Google Hangout doesn't record properly.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah. one of the town discussions, I know the Franklin TV is in, and there's a meeting next week with technology, Jamie, Pete Fasciano, etc. The training room is being prepared for reconfiguration. So a mini studio that Franklin TV has in the chambers would be up here with the OWL camera to make it much easier for a meeting to have participation and thereby connect automatically to Zoom and thereby enable the recording. So to the extent that we've made the town, clearly with coordination with TV and radio, has made the accessibility during the pandemic, the irony I find is that this board is stepping back first when you were at the forefront doing a whole bunch of things. So just to make you aware from multiple points about that, that's all.
That's a good point, Steve. Do you want to make a decision now or discuss?
We can make a decision now to revert back to hybrid.
Discussion?
When you say hybrid,
we could still meet in person. We would just have the.
We would still be required to. We are still required to meet in person at this point.
Well, no.
The board members would not be permitted to attend virtually. That board has been restricted.
Well, I think we need to make a quorum with the board members, whether it be on Zoom or in person.
Right? My understanding is that the governor's order excusing board members from attending open meetings is no longer in effect, such that board members, if they were going to attend a meeting, would have to be in person in order to be considered for the quorum. That's just Tim Cochran's understanding of the current status of the open meeting laws. Now, that doesn't preclude members of the public from attending virtually, but
that's what we wouldn't
be able to go fully virtual. We could go hybrid, but the board members would have to attend in person in order.
Right, exactly the way we've been doing it with the.
How do we?
Right.
I don't know. There are still a lot of towns that are still doing full remote with board members.
And that's
totally better.
If that's the way other towns are doing it,
I don't care. It's just like they're telling
kids.
I don't know what else
to do. That's fine.
My only question here, though, so if we go back to Google Hangout, totally fine. how do we still meet that accessibility piece of the transcript?
Right.
Because Google Hangout doesn't record, doesn't do the audio transcript.
Well, the minute, well, do, well, the minutes depict the meeting. I mean, I just
does Google Hangout provide subtitles during the meeting?
No.
I would, to clarify in terms of the technology, Google Hangout doesn't allow for recording. Zoom does.
Right.
If you do either meeting and the viewer is using a Chrome browser, there is an automated transcript on the screen from the meeting. And then something on TV and radio, we'd be looking at it to take the audio and produce a transcript. Akin to you doing your minutes, we would have a transcript that would be exactly who would have to approve those. This is nascent, this is new.
It wouldn't matter that these would be the approved minutes.
Those would be approved minutes anyway. From an accessibility standpoint, yeah, yeah.
Do you mind doing that, or should I use the Zoom account and then we would have the transcript, it would be recorded, right?
It would be recorded, yeah.
I can use the town.
Zoom is the preferred option, clearly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can do that.
I have a Zoom account too, you can do
the meetings on our phone. Yeah, and TV, radio have multiple, so we could always coordinate if we needed to.
Yeah, I mean, you want to do that?
Any other discussion?
No, I don't think we have that. We think we certainly would have that. There's nothing that would require us to vote. That, if we did, if we used Zoom, that would allow us to provide both audio and visual component to the meeting to address the accessibility issues then.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
That's fine.
All right, we'll do that moving forward then. Fine and dandy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for bringing it up. All right. Nice to see you all.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second that motion.
So we will adjourn at 5:45 on November 3rd. Aye. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Right.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.